Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We do have an alert for you, and that is as students in one Montgomery County high school district, in this high school, will be learning virtually today after authorities say there was a threat of violence. This is according to administrators. So the threat against Wissahickon High School.
Future daughter's high school.
Has forced the school's administration, they've said, to out of an abundance of caution, to switch to virtual instruction today, March 26th. The superintendent there is Dr. James Crisfield, explaining in a note to families. I don't know if you guys got the note because they sent it out to the district.
Oh, okay.
Your kids are younger, so maybe maybe you didn't get it. Maybe only the high school students. But the district, it did go out district-wide as far as publicly to families that there is not any evidence that this threat is credible, but the investigation is underway. So what they do, and this is just pretty much standard operating procedure across the country, where if they have some kind of a threat, even if they, you know, feel that this might be some kind of a hoax or something of that nature, they still, out of the abundance of caution, like I say, they just want to make sure that they shut the school down. They do searches of that. All the other Wissahickon School District schools, though, they have in-person classes today. Everybody's at school. This was just a matter involving the high school. Authorities putting the word out with police as well that if this is some kind of a hoax, a student does this, they are susceptible to being charged in a juvenile situation if they're underage, but also their parents could be fined for the cost of this.
I did receive this email. This was yesterday at 3:51 p.m.
Okay.
Same. I should have read it.
Oh, my God.
So the threat of violence, I mean, is that politically correct terminology for a bomb threat?
It could be. It could
or a school shooting?
Could be anything. Really. It's funny that he got it. I was curious because I was like,
you get it? He goes, nope, might have get it. Oh, yeah, here. Yeah, it's here in it my is. Email. Yeah. Hey, I'm glad to see you both check your emails. Love it. Thank you.
It was a beautiful day yesterday, so we might have been out in the yard, you know what I mean? Doing the Natural Lawn of America assessment or something, you know?
Well, I mean, I've got to tell you, I don't want to judge one elementary school and cast dispersions on an entire district, but my girls got off the bus yesterday, as they do every day, and then I take them to dance about an hour later, and there was two fifth graders immediately getting off the bus, and they were throwing hands, full fight, everybody was gathered around. I've instructed and advised my daughters to, you know, put their head down and just keep walking and get back to the house. But, yeah, a lot of pain in the asses in this school district. I thought it was a highly regarded school district. Have I been misled, Stensland?
No, this is one of the best school districts. It's just that these kinds of threats, they happen everywhere, you know, and that's they're not immune. And it could look. It could be a disturbed kid. They could think it's funny. That's why police always put out the word. If somebody thinks this is funny because it was, what, a nice day yesterday and they don't want to go to school today or whatever,
right,
it doesn't matter. You could, even an underage child could face juvenile court charges. But those parents, and we saw that happen, not often, but we have seen it happen in the past. There was a Jersey case. Where parents, if their kid does this, especially repeatedly, the parents can face the cost of, because the police have to go. They usually have to go with canines. They search the school, the investigation, all of that. And that's costly to the taxpayers. Could be susceptible. We do want to do a follow up. And this has to do with Corporal James O'Connor IV, his shooting and killing in 2020. Two men accused of leading that violent Frankfurt drug gang that committed really a series of shootings as well as murders, including the fatal shooting of our own Philadelphia SWAT Corporal James O'Connor. They were found guilty by a jury yesterday of crimes, including racketeering and murder. They are identified as Kelvin Jimenez and Dominique Parker. Now, they were not accused of participating in Corporal O'Connor's killing or even being there. That happened when he and other SWAT officers were actually attempting to serve the arrest warrant inside a Frankfurt apartment for a younger member of the gang who was wanted for murder. But prosecutors in this case said that these two were still the leaders who called the shots for this group. They're known as SG1700. That's the gang. But they were the ones, so they have to be accountable because they were the leader. They were the bosses, mm-hmm. if you will, in the gang.
Wow.
And so they have to be held accountable. And as well, they helped, you know, supply the drugs, the weapons to the younger members, tried to help everybody avoid getting caught by the police in all of that. And as well, took part in other shootings, drug deals, etc. So just wanted to let you know, as far as this, they continue to do the crackdown on gangs in our region. This one, a very violent gang in the Frankfurt section of Philadelphia.
SG, sounds like a license plate.
What it does. That?
SG1700.
Yeah, 1700-1700. So we've got that one going on. We also have police investigating after neighbors in a South Jersey community called police. They're on alert this morning even after they say people are aggressively, and in the one case, pursuing Tesla owners in a case much like the one we saw that was in another part of the country where they're confronting or blocking the pathway, the access to a Tesla driver. And in this one, it is under investigation. And so in this case, one driver, a Tesla owner, says he was driving his Tesla in his Cherry Hill neighborhood. That happened over the weekend. His car's cameras, and these Teslas, they all have the cameras,
mm-hmm.
capturing this red Acura SUV that passes him, then makes a fast U-turn, comes back. This happened, by the way, in Country Club Court. And so, you know, very quickly, like, slams on the brakes, does a quick U-ey, and then actually they were sharing what happened on news media, that the driver of that red Acura tried to block the roadway before driving right toward the Tesla. There was another family that experienced the same thing with a red Acura SUV.
Oh.
So they believe this could be the same individual who targeted at least three people that have been reported to police.
I just saw a guy yesterday at the gas station when I was filling up. He pulled in with a Tesla Cybertruck. He was not getting gas. He was going into the Wawa for something at the convenience element side of the business. And this guy was like 6'4", 275. Looked like he could be a professional wrestler, carved out of stone. I'm just waiting for the first viral video on social media of somebody like you're talking about here in an Acura, trying to harass a Tesla or Tesla Cybertruck driver, and then realizing once the big dude steps out of the vehicle that they picked the wrong dude to mess with.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that video to happen. Yeah, it will happen.
The big guy that looks like, I don't know the actor's name, but like Reacher.
Yeah.
He was like 7 feet tall, yeah. or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So in this one, in all of these cases, they did the right thing. And this is the request from police across the region. Remember, Sarah Weiss told us that there's an event this weekend coming up in Bucks County. But
yeah, at the Tesla dealership in Warminster there.
In Warminster, yeah. Just to show support.
Yep.
But the police across the region, across the country, they're saying, please file a police report. And you do have that video. So they're really making that request. That's why they have these three reports. They have the video. So the Cherry Hill police chief speaking out, confirming they are investigating. And they, you know, they're trying to catch this guy in the red SUV that was mm-hmm. harassing people. We have I know we have a lot of political news today. And in Pennsylvania, we do have a situation where Democrat Dan Gugnor is the winner of that special election we've talked about. Western Pennsylvania, why are we talking about a Western PA election? Well, because it keeps the majority of the state house in the Democrats' hands. In here in Pennsylvania. So we want to get to that. Beating Republican Chuck Davis for the seat on the Mon Valley region. This is just southeast of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So that seat became vacant back in January. Democrat state rep Matthew Gurgley died. So the Democrats' victory means Democrats hold the House by a single vote, 102 to 101. Holding majority means Democrats obviously keep House Speaker Joanna McClinton of Philadelphia as the chamber's presiding officer. So this was a very important, you know, important election for sure. So we're talking about that one as well. Real quick here, because we talked about gangs and gang wars, turf wars, bosses, gang bosses. This is a little lighter note, and somebody who has paid the price of trying to rehab his life. Skinny Joey Merlino. Skinny Joey, if you remember him, Joey. He apparently now he's going to get his own restaurant in the region.
Yeah, I've seen videos of him flipping and making cheesesteaks on X.
Yeah.
Is that what this is in reference to?
So he's going to remember, I don't know if I should say, his nickname was Fat Ange. Remember, Ange, really, Kitchen Consigliere has a wonderful restaurant. So these are individuals, they serve their time on the road to redemption, but they love to cook. And so there's word that he's going to be opening a local restaurant.
You trust him to make you a steak, Wizwit?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh,
you know it's good.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know it's going to be good. Anybody by the name of Skinny Joey or Fat Ange, they definitely have good restaurants.
I know we'll get to all of the national news as far as Mike Waltz taking accountability.
Did he? Taking accountability.
Oh, it wasn't a hack. It wasn't Trump playing 4D chess. It was just, oops, my bad. Jeez.
Well,
he has no idea how Goldberg got on the chat. No idea. He's having Elon Musk and their tech team look into it.
Okay, here's the weird thing about this whole Signal app story. And we were covering this all day yesterday, and Nick started out with the big take talking about this whole situation. I will say this. If Mike Waltz, who, by the way, is a corporal, military veteran, decorated war hero, essentially.
Family man.
Yeah, Greg teases me because I say that. But he has no idea. He did not have Goldberg, the journalist in the case, did not have him in any of his contacts. And so So that was your question and your big take.
Well, how do you find, how does this guy just randomly pop up as your contact?
He doesn't,
but my question is, and here's my question. I'm not blaming the Atlantic journalist here. What I'm asking is, about a month ago, there was our intelligence community warned all the government workers to beware of this particular Signal app. Because there were security risks, and especially with the Russians and the Ukrainians and all the other countries that I guess do better in schools and know how to hack this stuff.
That's why I've been saying.
Was this a hack?
Let's have the old conference room meeting. I said, short of somebody bugging the room.
So the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic hacked into a Signal.
No, I'm not saying that, Greg. I'm saying... I'm not questioning his integrity at all. What I'm saying to your point is, was it somebody who thought, haha, wouldn't this be rich? We'll put this in there. Like, I don't know the answer, but if somebody's not in your contacts,
I can't believe we're going down this rabbit hole of this.
Trump said yesterday that he feels very comfortable after being briefed on the attack and blames a lower level Waltz staffer for the mishap.
So does the lower level staffer have Goldberg in the contacts? That would be reassuring to me. To me, that would be the best scenario. But if I'm an investigator, if I'm within the intelligence community, then I would want to know this answer.
How vulnerable
is this to hacking?
I wouldn't feel great about the lower level staffer having a contact for Goldberg if you're a part of this administration, because Goldberg has nothing but counter agenda intuitions and desires. I mean, Jeffrey Goldberg of The Atlantic is no friend to the Trump administration. So the fact that we have a lower level staffer that could be doing this, I would say, well, first of all, you're disposable. And second of all, did we not vet this guy properly?
By that, I just meant that if they know who did it,
if they
actually can explain it, then I'm relieved by that. But I will say this about Jeffrey Goldberg. He followed the protocol as far as if you're a journalist. Okay, he did not reveal everything. He waited until everything was over. Do you know what I'm saying?
So you give him the stamp of approval from a journalistic integrity standpoint?
I'm saying he did not do anything that was journalistically, to my knowledge, I don't see anything unethical. I confessed yesterday, if I'm invited on that chat, I'm contacting them in real time. And I'm saying, do you guys realize you've had me on this chat for days?
Hey, did you mean to? Yeah.
I'm gaining their trust, and I'm making a deal
to get
a bigger story.
I agree with Dawn on that. He should have said something like, guys, don't please take me off of this.
Yeah.
Because you know, with a text, if somebody's on a text thread that they're not supposed to be on, like, please take me off of this.
Yeah.
Or when somebody replies all to something, you say, stop replying all.
Right.
Yeah.
So I do agree with you that he should have said something.
Or if you get tagged on a conversation in X with 40 other people, you can just leave the conversation.
Goldberg said something yesterday that I think is very interesting, because with the hearings yesterday, everybody's saying, well, there's no classified information. Apparently, there was a CIA operative that's undercover was named. So, you know.
Pretty important stuff.
There's that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also thought it was interesting, Tulsi Gabbard, she was not giving anything up in that hearing yesterday. So I know we'll get to all of that, but it was interesting to see everybody's personality. But for her, she was saying, this is under investigation. I don't have to comment. So you saw the personalities of these individuals come out.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was a big reveal.
That's Gabbard's very stoic demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very even keeled.
She was. We'll get to, Nick has all the other stuff in the big take, so I'm not going to get to a lot of the other national news and the executive order that Trump signed that's making local news today as well. We're sponsored by Natural Lawn of America, from the organic fertilizer to the safer weed and insect controls. Natural Lawn makes sure your lawn thrives naturally season after season. You want to choose Natural Lawn, get free seeding every single year. Call 800-FREE-SEED now. Do this. Because you want that lush, beautiful, safer lawn, Natural Lawn of America. And speaking of, you know, the lawn, the weather, it's a little breezy today, still sunny, still lovely, not quite as warm. We were in it felt like it was warmer than 63 degrees yesterday with that bright sun. Today, we're not making 60 degrees. It's in the upper 50s. But yet another beautiful spring-like day. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, a Wednesday big take with voting and elections, courtesy of a new executive action from 47. We're back after this here on Kale & Company.
Do you like to visualize things before they become reality? Well, what about your new kitchen? Visualize it. Kitchen Magic has just launched its brand new innovative online kitchen visualizer. Easily experiment with all the styles, the colors, the layouts online. And so you preview your perfect space before your free design consultation. Then Kitchen Magic's design experts, they get to work and they'll refine the details to bring your vision to life. That's how it works. Family owned for 45 years, Kitchen Magic has crafted more than 60,000 beautiful American-made kitchens. Visit KitchenMagic.com. KitchenMagic.com. Create different kitchen looks. Enjoy 40% off installation. Visit them. KitchenMagic.com. Do this now. KitchenMagic.com. Take advantage of 40% off installation. What are you waiting for? And get ready to visualize your new kitchen. KitchenMagic.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app. The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it's brought to you by Staples. The Big Take, gaming the game, voting in elections, game over. On Tuesday, we had plenty of noise that was made when it comes to the continued fallout from the Signal group text of the Trump administration that accidentally included the inclusion of Jeffrey Goldberg, editor-in-chief of The Atlantic. Yeah, Jasmine Crockett, who was also shooting off her mouth and taking shots at Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Lots of noise, little action. But the truth is, the biggest, boldest, loudest action was pulled off by Donald Trump. Election integrity, even in victory, is paramount. It is the essence of democracy. Free and fair elections. Here was 47, putting into motion the insurance that Americans will now have, knowing that their vote counts, and Trump didn't need to yell and shout. In fact, somebody else did most of the talking. All he had to do was simply pull out a Sharpie and sign. Listen and watch.
Lastly, sir, we have an executive order for your attention on the very important subject of election integrity. We believe that this executive order is the farthest reaching executive action taken in the history of the Republic to secure our elections. Among numerous other aspects of this executive order, this is going to cut down on illegal immigrants on the voter rolls, ensure that the Department of Homeland Security and the data that they have available is being fully weaponized to ensure that illegal immigrants aren't voting, This will include a citizenship question on the federal voting form for the first time. This executive order instructs the EAC to cut federal funding to states that don't take reasonable steps to secure their election. This calls on the Department of Justice to vigorously prosecute election crimes, particularly in states that we don't believe are in compliance with federal law around election integrity. I could go on and on for a while, sir, but the compliance with national election day rules, cracking down and investigating and prosecuting foreign interference in our elections, revoking President Biden's Executive Order 14019, which essentially weaponized government to corrupt and pollute our election process. There's a lot in here, but we believe that these are very important steps that we need to be taking as an administration at your direction to ensure that our elections are as secure as they possibly can be.
Okay. You all understand that? Yes. Mm-hmm. Election fraud. Mm-hmm. You've heard the term. We'll end it, hopefully. At least this will go a long way toward ending it. There are other steps that we will be taking in the coming weeks, and we think we'll be able to end up getting fair elections. Perhaps some people think I shouldn't be complaining because we won in a landslide, but we got to straighten out our election. This country is so sick because of the election, the fake elections and the bad elections, and we're going to straighten it out one way or the other. And it's an honor to sign this one. To sign all of them, but to sign this one is a great honor.
This was a great day for Republicans, but it should be embraced by all Americans, eligible and with the desire to have their voices heard. But we know the Democrats hate this. This is the party that does not want voter ID in a country where you need ID for virtually every other transaction. To gain entrance, to consume, to come and go, alcohol, tobacco, getting a tattoo, boarding a flight, gambling, on and on and on. Proper documentation to prove you are who you say you are. But not voting. No, no, that's discriminatory. That's racist. That's voter suppression. Hell, that's Jim Crow 2.0. The gig is up. The game is over. Here was Republican Rep. Eli Crane of Arizona yesterday on the Hill outlining the blueprint and the game plan for the Democrats all along. Listen and watch this.
My question is, briefly explain what liberal states stand to gain from mass illegal immigration and unchecked parole.
Part of it's head count. They're counted in the census, even though non-citizens can't vote and are not supposed to vote. And then those numbers are used for districting in Congress. And then in turn, those same numbers are also used for the presidential electoral college votes.
Would you agree, ma'am, that redistricting is a major political outcome for Democrats welcoming migrant caravans into their local communities?
Yes, it gives them more headcount and therefore more districts.
Would you agree illegal immigration for redistricting is not what the founders intended under Article 1, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution regarding congressional districting?
I agree.
The whole intention of the Biden administration and their open borders policy was to import millions of illegal aliens to permanently change the census and create more blue states. I gave you that proof months ago, but I'll do it again. Here was the percentage increase of illegal immigrants in the seven swing states from 2021 through 2024. Georgia saw an increase of 401%. North Carolina, 446%. Pennsylvania had an uptick of 241%. Arizona, a staggering 734%. Nevada, 562%. Michigan, 775%, and Wisconsin, 467%. And yet, Donald Trump was still able to sweep the seven battleground states. That's not by accident, by the way, folks. It was intentional. And the Biden administration gaslighted you for four consecutive years. And so did the media. In fact, we have the montage of lies right here. Listen and watch.
I think there's limited executive actions the president can take. He does not have the legal authority to shut down the border.
You need a legislative solution.
You do.
We need Congress to fix it.
That's all I can do. Just give me the power.
I'm going to have the authority.
No president, President Biden, President Trump can do it alone.
Can only be addressed by legislation, not by executive action.
There is no executive action.
No executive action.
We've been hearing Speaker Johnson talking about how the president does have legal authority. That is not the truth.
We need to give the President of the United States more authority to control.
But it turned out that all we really needed was a new president.
Illegal crossings along the southwest border have fallen to their lowest levels in decades.
It is quiet here at the U.S.-Mexico border.
We did not see a single migrant.
Zero gotaways.
The lowest ever monthly total in American history.
The only reason the border is not secure is Donald Trump.
But that doesn't mean in 2028, 2032, 2036, and beyond that this result will play out the same way. No, in election integrity, grassroots campaigning, taking that feverish pitch Republicans had in 2024 will need to be replicated every single election. Voting early, mail-in ballots, as long as those tools are on the table for you, they need to be utilized. The GOP and MAGA can never go back to the laissez-faire approach of 2020 and before then, because you know Democrats are not going to slow down. The Daily Caller with an exclusive yesterday headline, RNC Election Integrity Unit probes states to keep voter rolls clean. They write, the Republican National Committee is requesting all states to provide the party information on how it maintains and cleans up its voter rolls as part of the latest election integrity initiative. The RNC's Election Integrity Unit is launching one of the largest ever records requests on Tuesday, that was yesterday, sending requests for records to 48 election officers in 48 states and the city of Washington, D.C. Also, Fox News with a headline yesterday about Nevada voting integrity. Headline, Nevada investigates more than 300 potential voter fraud cases from the 2024 election. They write, according to a report from the Nevada Secretary of State, an investigation into 303 cases of double voting is underway. Keep in mind, Donald Trump defeated Kamala Harris in Nevada by 46,000 votes. I'm on board 100% with all of this. And it will definitely be challenged by the Democrats. You know, we're going to have another judge that's going to try to intervene. You can take that to the bank. But if and when this executive order gets to SCOTUS, I think the 6-3 conservative majority will rule in favor of Trump. And I feel very certain of that. If Democrats win fair and square, so be it. But their game plan just took a major blow to their future chances of winning another presidential election. And I argue that this is for the betterment of America. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now at Staples, you can save up to $250 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends on April 5th. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, you can fire away on X at 1210 WPHD. And of course, on YouTube, just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHD. You know, Don, I got a feeling that Linda Kearns probably liked that executive action from Donald Trump yesterday, probably more so than any other EO that he has pulled out the Sharpie for in his 66 days in office. This should really, the Wall Street Journal's got a good breakdown of all the specifics of it, but this should really get us in a direction where we are going to really tighten up all the loose ends with elections and voting integrity.
Yeah, headlines. I was just looking at the headlines. So the White House called it their executive order, Preserving and Protecting the Integrity of American Elections. But the New York Times, Trump signs his executive order requiring proof of citizenship to vote in elections. Very straightforward headline, right? That's a good headline.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yahoo says Trump signs sweeping executive order targeting election rules.
Okay.
I mean, that's accurate, but kind of strange.
Targeting.
It's like citizenship. But Al Jazeera, Trump signs new executive order to change election rules. What we know. Well, that's a bizarre one because it's all written. You know, these are, anybody can go to whitehouse.gov and see it.
Yep.
So that was kind of a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would shame. There was another one, Democracy. They were Democracy Docket. Trump signs order in an attempt to vastly reshape U.S. elections. I think the New York Times got it right. you know, it's just very straightforward. You have to show that you are a citizen. So all the states, I mean, it's a states' rights issue. We will see, like you said, lawsuits. I wonder how the new virtual ID, like we have to have this by May to fly. You know, the new kind of
funny you said that on the driver's license, yeah. Right? There's a certain star that's needed.
Yes.
My wife told me about that last night because they're going to Hawaii in April. And she's like, if you don't have that, you're not going to be able to board your flight.
Yeah. So you have to, they put, what I think is weird is they actually put it off. They used the pandemic to put this off. It has like a holographic kind of nature to it.
Yep.
And so you have to get this real ID to travel, and they're really encouraging it. And so you have to have it starting by May 7th, this coming up May 7th. And so I just wonder, as far as the real ID, if all the states are pushing us to get the real ID, why not just use the real ID to vote? And they are strict with it.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania, for example, to get that real ID, you have to have some kind of a, I mean, I know this because when my sons, you know, fairly recently went through, you know, getting driver's license and stuff like that, you have to have original, like a birth certificate, a social security card, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to have that, I don't know what the pushback is.
How about this for a headline? Trump signs executive order as America joins the rest of the planet. Phil, how about you throw this graphic up here? This is courtesy of Fox News. You'll see it on YouTube. There's the list of every country that requires voter ID. For those without the visual element to the show, Iceland, Sweden, New Zealand, Denmark, Canada, Ireland, Switzerland, Finland, Australia, Germany, the Netherlands, South Korea, Italy, France, Japan. I'm going to go from column to column for the sake of time constraints here. Belgium, Slovenia, Lithuania, South Africa, Croatia, Ghana, Brazil, Portugal, Argentina, Poland, Bulgaria, Greece, Jamaica, Peru, El Salvador, Hong Kong, Venezuela, hell, even in Palestine, Pakistan, Iraq, and Haiti.
Haiti!
Countries that harbor terrorists and their government is basically seized by radical nutjobs. Even they say, we need to see your ID before your vote. Welcome to America, folks. I mean, honest to God, is it really that difficult? I mean, I know we've had these conversations a million times, and there's a lot of people that did a lot of really good work this past year. Laura Trump, Michael Whatley, Linda Kern, Scott Pressler. We talked about all those names. You know, you standing in line when they tried to cut the lines off in Bucks County, up in Quakertown. We had callers. We had video evidence sent to us. People in line on social media filming. It's a very simple process. Why? It's one of the most indefensible arguments somebody tries to argue on behalf of. I've never understood it, Dawn. In a country where you need ID for almost everything. And I've given some of the crazy stories. And I give the one I've mentioned a few times in the past where, and I know it's, you know, state law and it revolves around alcohol licenses. But when my mother-in-law would come down to Tennessee, she's 62 years old. She had to show her ID to get a vodka cranberry at a restaurant. Yet in Pennsylvania, you got Ethel and Bluebell at your local. I don't need to see your ID. And I tell you what I always do when I vote. No, I legitimately pull out my wallet and get right up in the person's face. I'm like, no, see, I want you to see this ID because voting and voting integrity matters. We don't have, everybody loves to talk about democracy, Dawn. If you don't have the consensus belief amongst your constituents that voting is fair and every vote counts and every voice matters, you don't have a democracy.
I just, okay, be careful what you say with the Supreme Court because it's a states' rights issue. And so if a state has some kind of law on the books and that predates this order, that's where the challenges lie. And this court, as we saw with Roe and many other things, is a states' rights court. So I know that on the common sense level, it sounds like a no-brainer, but when you get in the weeds of it, does anything that the president's, you know, putting in there, does it try to supersede what the state already has? Because the states already have their laws on the books.
Mm-hmm.
It would only really, I think, impact the states that don't.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? So that's where the legal challenge, I mean, they're going to challenge it. And so that's really, because it's the old Federalist
right
debate.
Yep.
So that's what I see. You know, the lawyers always win. These lawyers, they can find anything. But I will be interested to see how the how SCOTUS, you know, rips into this and really looks at states' rights versus federal rights, and then how the media reports on it. Because that's, I think that's everything, yeah. Right? It's just the federal government versus the states.
Yep. Be on the lookout today for lots of sound bites from Democrats on the Hill, very angry over this executive order. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. We're going to get to a little media conversation. PBS and NPR. Today's your day as you go toe-to-toe with Doge. Back after this. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Road Warriors, as I told you, don't hate on someone's stupid pet. I guess you're right, man. I didn't realize we opened Pandora's box with this.
And, you know, I thought of this poor lady yesterday. I'm in the yard. It was so beautiful. I'm just doing yard work yesterday.
Yeah.
I look over because our fence is broken. I need a new fence.
No, but we need a fence guy.
I look over, and there are like 20 deer in my yard, they're all like this. And they're looking at me, they're like 10 feet from me.
Yep, they're coming out of their little winter hibernation. Yeah. They're all over Bluebell.
Like, oh,
yep.
I only have the buddy voice, sorry.
Uh-huh.
But they're like, oh, what are you doing?
You know what, though? Let's be honest. And I know this one, is the argument is it's domesticated and you bought it from a pet, whatever the claim might be.
But that's the law.
Deer are disgusting, dirty, wretched animals cause car accidents, that cause people to be killed. There's a reason we're allowed to hunt deer in Pennsylvania and other states, because they're running amok and they're a nuisance and a pain in the ass.
No, they're... Look,
I'm going to clip this and we're going
to
get...
Send it to that guy
on
Twitter.
I'm not agreeing with that. No, they're beautiful creatures when they're out. They were like yesterday in the yard. You should, but they're so domesticated in our region that you don't need to bring the deer into your home. They're fed by people. So they were like, as far as Greg is away from me right now.
Yeah,
I mean, how many feet is that? And they're like this, with their eyes. They're like,
well, here's the problem.
And they do this. They make these noises like, what are you doing?
Here's the problem that people don't understand. I'm not saying that this would happen with deer. But the problem is that these people who are very lonely, in my opinion, get these animals and then they domesticate them that are not meant to be domesticated. Remember the thing with the chimp?
Yeah.
Remember the woman who had the pet chimp and the chimp ripped her face off?
Yeah.
Like,
my dad had a monkey in the 70s.
That's what I'm talking about. Monkeys, all this stuff. They're not meant to be domesticated. Dogs, cats, that's it.
Yes.
That's it. You're done.
My dad.
Have a fish.
True story. My dad had a monkey after he got out of college. He came home before he got his job.
He named it Nicholas.
He named it Nicholas. He was living with my grandmother. My grandmother was boiling lamb chops on the stove, and the monkey jumped up on the stove, stuck his hand in the pot, and pulled out the lamb chops. Ate those suckers.
Did he burn his hand?
Probably. But he was hungry, and he didn't care.
One slow news day. There'll never be a slow news day, but one slow news day. I'm going to get to the bottom of your weird
family sick, tree,
twisted family tree.
Yeah, I know. Because
you throw out some gems every now and then. I'm just like... What's happening in the Kale family?
In this day and age where everybody's writing a book and a podcast, I've got stories.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to capitalize.
Of a monkey.
We need to talk about defunding NPR.
Yeah, we will.
Big City Liber on the YouTube chat says, another case of the government picking winners and losers. No, we just want an even playing field.
Mm.
Because they compete in this market, WHYY, and get ratings points. When we should be getting those ratings points, and they're funded by taxpayers. FNPR.
Yeah. Let's get to that on the other side. 855-839-1210. Dawn will have some news to kick off hour number two. And if you're in your feelings over a deer, too bad. Keep tweeting us. Kale and Company, hour two, coming up next.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.